WATD. This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD, online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
Good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. I'm your moderator, Christine James. I'm joined by reporter Charles Mathewson, Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi, along with Jonathan Grabowski, Executive Director of Marshfield Community Media, asking questions tonight. Tonight, it's the primary election race for the 1st Plymouth and Norfolk State Senate. We've got incumbent Republican Patrick O'Connor. Good evening. And challenger Ron Petuto, both vying to be on the ballot for the general election this fall. Timing you all is Lenny Rowe, and we're joined by media partner Marshfield Community Media. Thanks for being here. Our format is simple. Now, we ask the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements ready. No longer than 2 minutes for an open and 1 minute for a close, please. Then we have a round of questions from the reporters and a lightning round. Now, in the regular round of questions, the answers are 1 minute, and we will be timing you. That's Jill, who's learning how to do the timing right over there. You'll see the cards, red, green, and yellow. Green is go, yellow is 10 seconds, and red means stop. I'll give you a 5-second countdown grace period if you're still talking on the red. If you're still talking, the bell, and then we cut the mic. So this keeps everybody honest and keeps them to that minute. Now, with the lightning round, that's a little bit different. And that is, we ask questions and it's either a yes or no, we'll ask you what we want, or one or two sentences tops. And we love doing it because nobody who runs for office can answer that. Also, if you consistently go over, ramble, or start to repeat yourself, then it's at my discretion, you get the bell. We chose the opening and closing order out of the official WATD stand-in newsroom koozie. Yes, the other one was stolen at the end of the last election season. We think maybe a disgruntled candidate. If you're not sure that you're in this district, 1st Plymouth and Norfolk District is Cohasset, Duxbury, Hingham, Hull, Marshfield, Norwell, Scituate, and Weymouth. We chose the opening and closing order just a few minutes ago, and we're going to begin with Ron Petuto, and then we're going to go to Patrick O'Connor, and then we're going to switch that order at the end. So let's begin with our opening statements, and let's start with Ron Petuto.
Hi, my name is Ron Petuto. I'm happy to be here. Nice to meet you all. I grew up in Hull, Massachusetts. I now live in Marshfield, 4.7 minutes from this location, by the way, when I put it in my GPS. And I have a small business on the South Shore, and I represent several towns in this district in the lobster industry. And we're disappointed in a lot of the regulations that have been put down upon us. A lot of it's federal, but this is what pretty much started to get me into politics, was we need more of a voice at the state. One of the things we'd like to do is become part of the Department of Agriculture so we could get more protection. And we'd also like to have more representation to stop more, well, basically, in our industry, if we kill one right whale, we've never killed a right whale, they shut the industry down. And this is just part of it. Another part is education. I'm concerned about what we're doing in the schools. I'm concerned about the mandates that went down during COVID for my daughter. I asked the schools certain reasons and why they were masked all day while you went to a restaurant and not be masked. And these are just parts of the reasons on why I'm running.
That's Ron Petuto. That was his opening statement. Now let's go to the incumbent, Patrick O'Connor.
Thank you. Thank you to WATD for hosting this forum tonight as well. For the past 6.5 years, I've had the honor and privilege of serving the South Shore in the Massachusetts State Senate. And over those 6 years, my office has helped thousands of our neighbors in their time of need, from navigating complicated bureaucracies to helping people out in their most challenging moments. Me and my staff have always been and will continue to always be ready to help. I've also been proud to return record amounts of your tax dollars back to our communities. $125 million in grants directly to our towns, $12.4 million to small businesses, $680.4 million in local aid, and $6 million direct to local charities. Working closely with my colleagues in local government, this money has been used to build homes for homeless veterans, provide services to the disabled, research cures for childhood cancer, build new schools and libraries, secure our coastal infrastructure, fix our roads, and invest in essential services like police, fire, and education. But my work and the work of my team doesn't end there. We've also taken on leadership roles statewide. As ranking member of the Ways and Means Committee, I've been one of six lead negotiators finalizing our state budget for the past 3 years. During this time, we've seen unprecedented growth, and we've done that without raising taxes. Our growth has been so significant that we're now in a position to return nearly $3 billion to the hardworking citizens that make the Massachusetts economy run. I've passed laws to protect individuals with disabilities, fought for stronger sentences for sex offenders, drug traffickers, and perpetrators of violence against women, helped provide a voice to those without one, held the line on wasteful spending, made our community stronger, and I've done all this while standing up to the Beacon Hill status quo and standing up for our shared priorities. I ask for your support on September 6th because I take this job very seriously, and I want to continue to advocate for you, for our communities, and for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Thank you very much. That was Patrick O'Connor, his opening statement. Now we're going to go to questions, and let's begin with Jonathan Grabowski from Marshfield Community Media.
Sure. Good evening, gentlemen. So my first question to both of you is, why run for this position? Ron, you could run for maybe state rep or something else, and Pat, you said you've been doing this for 6.5 years. Why not maybe do something different? So my question is to both of you, why this position?
Let's start with Ron.
I've done a little bit of research on certain positions that my opponent has taken in areas where I am disappointed in the outcome of where he's gone. I don't know if this is the appropriate place to get into something like that, because from what I heard listening to the previous forums, nobody went after each other. So not after each other, but talked towards against each other. So what I heard from the 2018 one was, we were at a $1 billion surplus in our state. Right now, I believe we're at a $9 billion surplus. And I believe that it's one thing to give the money back, but it's more important to stop taking it in the first place and figure out ways to have tax relief so it's not taken in the first place. So that's one of the main reasons why I'm running as well.
Same question, Pat.
Thank you. We're at a $6.9 billion surplus right now in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and having reserves is important. We saw during the downturn of the economy in 2008 us deplete all of our resources. As a matter of fact, when I first got into office, our stabilization fund was at $1.2 billion, and now it's at $6.9. And we're talking about returning $3 billion on top of that. That's incredible growth. That's a strong economy. I'm running for this position because I love this job. I love representing these eight communities. I love all of the organizations that are part of these eight communities that lift our neighborhoods up, that support each other in our time of need. The South Shore is an incredibly special place, and I have an important role to be able to work to connect a lot of these people with the organizations that they need and to talk to people day in and day out about what they want to see happen in Massachusetts and what they believe to make a more prosperous future, to provide more opportunity for people. My work is not done here in the State Senate, and that's why I'm running for re-election, to continue to be your voice on Beacon Hill.
Okay. Kevin Chalchi, questions for the candidates?
Yes. My question is a two-part question. First, what type of a Republican would you say you are? Traditional conservative, moderate, libertarian, Tea Party, Trumpist, fiscal conservative? You fill in the blank. Is that Patrick?
Sure. I would consider myself a moderate Republican, a traditional sort of constitutional conservative, like many of the past presidents that served under the Republican moniker. So I would just consider myself a moderate, fiscal conservative, constitutional conservative.
Okay. Ron, I was previously registered as a libertarian. I was more of a conservative libertarian, where I believe that the on an even playing field, and when it comes to business, the private sector could do a better job than the government ever could.
Okay. So my follow-up question is, how do you feel that your political beliefs have either worked in your favor as a state senator or will work in your favor if elected? So we'll start with Ron.
So as a small business owner, I've been able to make decisions that helped in the moment while looking forward to the future. And I actually, during COVID, I actually opened up a place of business anticipating that my industry was going to be shut down, and I actually created jobs on March 25th. I remember going into the Norwell Town Hall, and Ben, he was the Board of Health at the time, and I think he still is. There were all the different decisions they had to make to close restaurants and what they were going to do Board of Health wise. We were considered an essential worker because we were providing food from our boats and our lobster boats, and it was one of the nicest things to go in there, and have him say, "You're going to open now?" And then to see us flourish because we ended up being a outlet for other people. So I think that sums up what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, first off, I just want to say how much I do appreciate my opponent's work in the small business field and how important that is here on the South Shore. As far as how my political philosophy goes and assists me in my day-to-day work is I consider myself a collaborator. I'm very open to listen to other people's points of views and being able to try and work and bridge divides, sometimes very emotional and complicated divides that we face, especially nowadays in a social media-driven environment in the legislature and with a lot of varying and strong opinions. I consider that to be one of the biggest strengths that I have in being able to really work together with my colleagues to find solutions to problems. And it may not be something that I agree with 100% of the time on 100% of the issues, but it's one of those things that being able to bridge those divides and find compromise is sometimes more important than my personal beliefs for the state.
Okay. Questions, Charles Mathewson?
Sort of on the same subject, Ron, you have said in your advertising that you're not a politician. Patrick, you're an incumbent. My question is there an art of politics, Patrick?
I don't know if there's an art of politics. I think that politics has gotten incredibly divisive, and a lot of people are not attracted to having this be something that they'd want to do as their profession. And, you know, we feel it from time to time, too, where, you know, you have this division that's going on nationally that unfortunately spreads into local politics and spreads into state politics for sure. I think that being able to rise above that and when they go low, you go high type of mentality is something that people, especially here on the South Shore, really appreciate. And I think that bringing that sort of South Shore mentality to Beacon Hill is also something that a lot of my colleagues appreciate. Being basically no nonsense, trying to find, you know, the answers rather than trying to create division and having conversations rather than arguments. I think that there's possibly an art form to politics, but certainly D.C. politicians do not have it.
Ron, is there an art of politics?
If there's an art of politics, I'm not well versed in it. As you can tell, I'm pretty nervous right now. But I think one of the things with politics is we seem to drift away from just taking a person's opinion, and we seem to be labeling people if they have an opinion. I feel that to be rather narrow-minded. I think if somebody has a certain opinion on a certain issue, it shouldn't turn into, oh, well, that must mean you're this, or, well, that must mean you're that. It just means this is an opinion. And I think sometimes we just take it too far. So as far as the art of politics, it's a crash course to me right now.
Okay, thank you.
A longtime listener has asked us to ask the candidates if they would support having Election Day and Tax Day on the same day. Would you support something like that, Ron?
It's an interesting question. I think that Election Day should be turned into a national holiday. If we were going to add in Tax Day to it, I don't see why not.
Okay. Patrick O'Connor, what do you think about that?
My guess is they'd have to probably move Tax Day to November. I see no problem with that. I mean, I know that it's more sort of in the spirit of to do something to line it up where mm-hmm. people feel like their taxes are too high and that they'd vote out people who are making them that high. But, you know, sure.
Okay.
At the end of the day, sure.
You're listening to a political forum here on WATD. It's the first Plymouth and Norfolk State Senate seat. The primary race, Republicans. We've got the incumbent, Patrick O'Connor. We've got his challenger here, Ron Petuto. Let's go to the next question, Jonathan Grabowski.
So South Shore Chamber of Commerce 2030 plan looks at the areas of housing, employment, infrastructure, and transportation. What's the most important of those to the district? That's a question to both of you.
Let's start with Pat.
Sure. So I was proud to serve on the housing component of the South Shores 2030 plan alongside my colleague, Senator John Keenan from Quincy. And I think that all of those aspects really wrap into where the South Shore needs to go in the next 8 years and beyond. I would say that when you look at the housing production plan that we have here in the South Shore, it is very limited. And it's a delicate balance by being able to protect the investment and growth that individuals have seen, homeowners have seen, the prices of their biggest investment, as well as trying to create more housing stock that fits the community's needs. I think it's a very challenging issue, and we've seen it and tried to deal with it in all eight of the communities that we have. Weymouth, I would say, is probably the one that has fast-tracked that the most. Transportation, we have hundreds of millions of dollars coming through the pipeline right now with through Route 3A, Route 18, and others where we're making those investments that we need. Right now on the South Shore, I would say that that's probably secondary to housing, transportation needs. And what was the third one, Jonathan?
It's employment and infrastructure.
I'll give 30 seconds.
Yeah. Employment and infrastructure, I would say, are obviously key components. I think the future of work is going to be something that's going to be very interesting to watch over the next 2 to 3 years to see if people actually go back to Boston and continue the employment there, or if there's a more work from home environment, I think would be unique, where the South Shore could really capitalize on that. And then the infrastructure component, we have a lot of core infrastructure investments also in the pipeline. We just built a new $158 million school in the town of Weymouth, as well as two new libraries, one in Weymouth and one in Norwell. I think that building that infrastructure that makes communities work are very important.
Okay. Same question. For Ron, did you get an extra 30 seconds?
As far as housing goes, I know that a close family friend of mine, she's but she's a senior. And I think part of the issue that we have with senior housing is some of the costs are too high. I'd like to work on figuring out a way to bring the costs down. Just based upon the income and where we live, it's hard for them to get a home. They were looking in Cohasset, they were looking in Scituate, and it's been really hard for them to stay close to where they want to stay based upon the prices of that. As far as transportation goes, I'm not too familiar with the transportation, and I know we have Greenbush down here on the South Shore. That's not really my specialty right now. I'm going to have to pass on the rest of that question.
Okay. It was just, what do you think is the most important?
Though? Housing. I believe housing is. 100%.
Let's go to Kevin Tonchi. Questions for the candidates?
I'm torn between transportation or seawalls. I think I'll go with seawalls. The First Plymouth and Norfolk District has its share of coast and beaches. The real estate comes with the real estate comes flood issues and need for seawall remediation. I have a different question for each of you because of your experience. Ron, what's your plan to assist coastal communities with seawall issues and plans for rising sea issues? And for Patrick, just kind of your record on what you've done during your time in the Senate to help provide or secure funding for communities with seawall needs.
Let's start with Ron.
Well, it's funny on the seawall. I grew up in Hull. I've lived in Marshfield for the last four or five years. I noticed that we've done a great job in Hull, especially down further away from where the main strip is, where the Nantasket part is, with dunes and planting beach grass. I think that's a great way to get around it. I don't know about the walls in Scituate. As far as there's areas for there to have dunes, I'm saying I'm way too much. As far as the seawalls go for the rest of the towns, infrastructure and the money needs to be there for that too. So I think back to the question from before, I should have included infrastructure for the seawalls. I'm not so sure about how much the tidal increasing is going to affect it, but I believe that it's really difficult to put a man-made structure in the path of the ocean and not expect to have some sort of devastation or decomposition.
Okay.
Thanks, Kevin. I was proud when the governor put out his economic development bond bill down in Scituate to introduce him and to have the largest investment that the state's ever made into seawalls be included in that piece of legislation. From then, and actually before then, my office has secured millions of dollars for seawalls, for Marshfield, for Scituate, for Hull, for Duxbury, and for Weymouth. We've primarily used three vehicles. One was the infrastructure bond bill, where we've been able to then leverage the governor in releasing that bond money to our communities. The second one was direct grant funding that we've had in almost every single one of our budgets that we've been able to secure resources for our communities to continue this investment. And the last one, and probably the most important one, was through the Seaport Economic Council, which is chaired by Lieutenant Governor Polito. And every single one of the grant rounds that they've had, we've been able to really capitalize on. It's only open to coastal communities, and we've worked with our town administrators, town managers, and colleagues in local government to put together strong grant presentations that have been almost all accepted by the administration and being able to get these resources to our towns.
Charles Mathewson.
We've been working on a series on the process of voting. I don't know if you've heard any of it. I hope people are learning from it. We think that we know about voting inside and out, and we have been actually learning something from looking very deeply into the process. My question is, what is your preferred method of voting? In person, mail, early? And do you have confidence in the process?
Who do you want to start with?
Patrick.
Okay.
So I vote in person on election day. Sometimes if it gets too hectic and I know that I have to be down in the district, I'll early vote in one of the times. I think it's August 29th to September 6th is when we do early voting here this upcoming year. Other than that, I did not support the mail-in voting provisions. I think that there's an element of it that made sense during the 2020 election, considering the pandemic we were going through. But now, as we're getting past the pandemic, as it's further in our rearview mirror, it costs between $2 and $4 million to mail the ballots, mail the applications every single election cycle. And as we continue to move towards a much more digital world, there has to be some sort of compromise that comes with these mail-in ballots. And there has to be more accountability as well when it comes to this. There's too many cases of individuals getting 2, 3, 4 different ballots at the same point in time, depending on how their name's spelled. There's also other people who have moved, who've gotten ballots. It's just a very imperfect process right now. And before we do something so drastic, we should really...
Thank you.
I'm also a person that's a fan of mail voting in person. I feel like it's your civic duty. I understand the need for the mail-in ballot for those with health issues. But other than that, it's 2022. We should be able to have a system that's passed the mail.
You said you think it's your civic duty to vote?
It feels like it is to me, yeah.
Records show that since the 2010, you voted 3 times.
I voted in 2020, and they didn't count my vote as well.
So do you have confidence in the voting process?
It wasn't until about 2016, 2018 that I decided that I really felt like I needed to get into politics. Really thought about it, figured out a way where I was going to maneuver, how I was going to angle it, and the last couple of years really solidified the situation for me.
Because you don't trust the voting process? Or?
No, it was that age-old adage in Massachusetts, a Republican in Massachusetts, what's the point?
Okay, you have on your campaign material a photo of 2 applications sent to your wife.
Correct. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, do you know why?
I don't know why.
She registered twice. It's an easy mistake. She registered when she was unmarried, and she registered again after she married you. That's an easy mistake to make.
Understandable, but it's still a mistake that happened, and it's something that's been corrected. But it's also not uncommon.
So neither of you have faith in the voting system, it sounds like.
No.
Patrick?
I have faith in the voting system. I just think that when you do something like the mail-in voting and you have the Secretary of State going on record in years past saying it had to take a constitutional amendment, which would have taken a vote of the people of Massachusetts to solidify that and make that something that happens here, they unilaterally did it. And during 2020, it made sense. And I agree with Ron in the aspect of if people are out of state or if people are sick and need the absentee ballot application as it was prior to 2020, I think that they should absolutely have that opportunity to do that. But to mail out application forms and to mail out ballots and to continue on this without actually seeing an audit of how well this worked and actually, you know, understanding a lot of the elements that it comes to this, I think that we have the opportunity to put a pause on this and see if it's something we want to do. And if it is something we want to do, I think it should go to the ballot and people should decide whether or not we should do it, not politicians.
Do you have any response to that?
I agree with them.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Let's switch topics here real quickly. Transportation, always an issue in every district. Public transportation in your district, which is a big one. What needs to change, Pat O'Connor?
Honestly, I think a lot of people really like the commuter rail. I think that this is going to also play into the future of work, whether or not the commuter rail is going to get back to the capacity that it was pre-pandemic levels, with a lot of people still, you know, two, three, four, sometimes all the time working at home. The commuter rail is an excellent resource, and we're lucky to have in this district, too, both the Greenbush line and the Old Colony line that service the eight communities that that are here. And it's a important element of our makeup and the ability for people to continue to go to Boston with public transportation as an option and resource. Generally speaking, I think that we're in good shape. Pre-pandemic, we were working on trying to get more cars and potentially even more rides out of the Old Colony and Greenbush line because of the capacity had exceeded what they thought it was going to. Now we're obviously not in that situation, so I think that the state is looking towards the orange line and red lines and green lines and other areas to do work that's been long overdue.
Let me ask you a quick question. When we saw the story coming up, and we've been reporting on it, about the orange line shutting down for a month as opposed to every weekend for 5 years, we thought, oh, it's the orange line, it's over in that area, it won't affect us. Now the maps that we're getting in the newsroom showing the fallout from traffic, it looks like it's going to affect everybody's commute. What do you think about the shutdown of the Orange Line?
I support it. I honestly think that we have done everything with the MBTA that we possibly can. We've thrown money at the problem. We have thought out of the box multiple times. This has been Democrats and Republican administrations up on Beacon Hill that have tried to provide a solution to this problem unsuccessfully. And I think that a shutdown for a month to complete 5 years worth of work might be the first step that we take in actually trying to fix this. We have a very old, antiquated train system that sometimes we've seen circumstances where we have to go to other states to find parts in the middle of nowhere to replace it. So I support it.
Okay. I ask you the same two-part question. Ron, what do you think about what transportation, what needs to change in your district?
Again, depending on how much Boston ends up growing back again and bringing our employees back, every time I drive by, I come to one of the train tracks, whether it's at Scituate or it's in Hingham or it's at the Cohasset train station. Sometimes I'm always stuck there in my trucks going to work because I have a store in Norwell and I drive to Hull and I'm going through each South Shore town. And every time I see these cars go by when I'm sitting at the train stop while the train goes by, I don't see anybody on the trains. The parking lots are empty. So as I believe we have enough right now in our district, in my areas that we have. And as far as going backing up onto the Orange Line, I'm not too familiar with what's going on there. But if someone says that shutting down for a month is going to save 5 years of shutting down on the weekends, I think that's not a bad idea. I just want to make sure that that's accurate because that seems like a long time.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go back now to Jonathan Grabowski.
Still a little civics 101 here. So what's the role of the state senator? We'll start with Ron.
To provide a outlet for each individual district's towns to, if there's a, they want to handle a seawall, if they want to make sure that there's, like, I know Friday night Patrick's going to my former mother-in-law's group of former widowed wives of veterans, and he's there to support groups like that. Patrick does a lot of great work when it comes to individual groups around the area. I think that's basically, you know, just to be there for your constituents in your town.
Patrick? Yeah, I think that you're one of 40 individuals that go up there. You represent about 180,000 people, and you vote on all the laws that come before the Massachusetts State Senate that individuals want to see happen. And in addition to that, the voting aspect is sponsoring bills, being able to listen to your constituents and see what their needs are. There's unique circumstances that happen every single day, I would say, inside of our district where people have varying opinions on something that they want to see change in their community or in their neighborhood or in their state. And it's bringing that and being that voice to them, for them, on Beacon Hill. In addition to that, it's being out in the communities and being a part of that. And I've always said that one of the roles that I see and recognize people doing is turning these towns into communities. I think that's a fundamental part of being a public servant, especially nowadays with politics the way that they are, is being able to bring people together and showcase how wonderful the South Shore is, as well as so many amazing things that are happening both at the state and in our communities.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break now for a couple commercials and be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to 95.9 WATD.
Are you worried about your drinking?
Or is someone else worried about your drinking?
Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
There is no shame in living with a disease called alcoholism.
Regardless of your age, employment, or any other circumstances in your life, you deserve help from other individuals who understand what you are going through. Alcoholics Anonymous is here for you 24/7 at AA.org. Find online meetings at AABoston.org.
Each year, about 1 out of 2 men and 1 out of 3 women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced Cancer Care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard Medical Faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
Hi, my name is Alex Byzantin, and I'm running for Plymouth County Commissioner. I am the former chairman of the Abington Conservation Commission, former Abington Water Commissioner, and now serving in my second term as Abington Selectman. I am currently serving on the executive board of the Plymouth County Advisory Board. If you would like to learn more about my candidacy, please visit my website at alexbyzantin.org or follow me on Facebook. I am Alex Byzantin for Plymouth County Commissioner, and I approve this message.
I'm Tiny of Tiny Sons Glass. If you're driving along right now and you've got an angry little ding in your windshield,
ouch!
But good news, we can fix that ding. We'll fix that ding before it spreads. Drive on over to Tiny & Sons, Route 53 Pembroke. We will fix that ding. Your insurance company will pay.
And that's why I sing, give me that ding.
So give me that ding. Tiny & Sons Glass will fix that ding. Insurance company will pay.
That's right.
My dad did a great job. 1-888-64-TINIES. Just call.
Plymouth County is a large area stretching from just south of Boston down to the Cape Cod Canal. I'm Alex Byzantin. Join me and my guests for countywide coverage, everything from the Mayflower Landing to the most recent town meetings, how national news affects us locally, and how things that happen in Plymouth County affect the rest of the South Shore. Tune in for All About Plymouth County tomorrow night at 7 here on 95.9 WATD.
WATD's political forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
Thank you very much. We are back in studio. The race is the first Plymouth and Norfolk State Senate seat. It is the primary, and we have two Republicans, the incumbent, who is Patrick O'Connor, and the challenger, Ron Petutto. Now, right before we went to the break, it was Kevin Tachi's turn to ask some questions. So go right ahead.
Well, the state is experiencing yet another drought, third since 2016. Many view water as a very valuable commodity for economic development, especially when it comes to home and business construction. Would you ever support or seek funding if a community in your district looked to design and build a desalination plant? Patrick.
That's a great question. This has been something that actually was brought up a long time ago, prior to my time on the council in Weymouth, as far as an idea for what Weymouth would want to do. Instead, we opted to build a new water treatment facility and still get our water from Great Pond and Whitman's Pond. But yeah, no, I think that this is something to definitely look at. We continuously experience droughts, and I think that as we continue to go on and water use continues to increase, we're going to face some significant challenges, not just as a South Shore, but really as a society, as a world society, as far as what to do. In some areas of the world, this is already a major, major issue. I think that we should be looking at every opportunity and every avenue on the table, whether it be a desal plant, whether it be figuring out if continuing to hook up in Quabbin makes sense for a lot of these communities down here, for us to preserve a lot of the resources that we have. Everything should be on the table, considering how drastic a situation this is.
Same question.
I would absolutely support legislation that's promoted desalinization plants. We are in a situation here where we are in a drought. We're in our third drought with probably more to come, years to come. I have no reason why I wouldn't support something like that.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates.
Ron Petuto, you've said, I don't want to continue in the direction we're going. What direction would you prefer?
I prefer that our education system, I prefer that we teach our children that they're more similar than how more different than they are. I think if we can unite these children instead of separating them away from this group and that group, I think that would help our children tremendously. As far as regulations without actual, I'd like to use statistics when it comes to regulations in the fishing industry. If we kill one right whale, they shut the industry down. But yet, the offshore windmill farms, they're knowing that the turbines and the vibrations from the turbines are going to be so disruptive to the migratory paths of the whales, they've given, NOAA has granted the offshore windmill farms 23 takes. And I feel like the hypocrisy in certain situations in our government towards small business is really hurting a lot of us.
Patrick O'Connor, are you satisfied with the direction? Would you like to change? Or what direction would you like to go in?
As far as the state goes, there's always room for improvement. And I think when you look at Massachusetts from the lens of what we are a state that has one of the best public education systems in the entire country. It's a state that has the best services for individuals with disabilities. It's the state that has one or two. We always compete with Virginia for services for our veterans. When you look at our communities, they're strong, they're thriving. People are making an incredible living. Children are having a good foundation for their for opportunity. Of course, things could be better. And during the pandemic, I fought alongside some people and fought by myself to try to rein in some of the things that were happening that I thought weren't appropriate, or businesses that were shut down that should have continued to be able to operate, or different mandates that I thought were just categorically unfair. But at the end of the day, Massachusetts is an incredible state. We have a lot going for us right now, and I truly believe that we're going to continue to be successful into the future.
Thank you both.
There's been a conversation starting about new types of tolls or specific taxes for where and how much people drive. And I know that a lot of people have been feeling, thinking, what's going to happen now if I'm commuting in to Boston and if I'm on a certain road, am I going to get taxed on that? And that was a conversation I think a lot of people thought was off the table. Now it looks like there's been, a committee or a group formed to actually look into that. Pat O'Connor, what are your thoughts on that? Does that scare you?
I don't support it. I remember when this came up years ago when they were trying to put sort of a tracking device in people's inspection stickers back then, is how they were going to monitor this, and that there'd be some sort of tracking device that people would be able to go through different areas of the city and it would be a charge on them. Some European cities have something similar to this where you get charged an incredible amount of money if you want to go into London, for example, where they just use that to then encourage public transportation. I think that we're already very set in our ways in which we're going to transport ourselves to and from the city. I don't think that a overburdensome tax is going to be something that's going to restrict people or have people think differently. I just think that this is a money grab from either the city or the state, and I don't support it.
Okay. Same question, Ron Petuto.
I feel like that is part of it seems like there's a globalist agenda right now where they're weaponizing certain parts of the environmental policy to hurt and restrict us, and I feel like this situation is a perfect example of how that is happening. It is something that they do in Europe. It's something that I would not support right here in the state, okay. Especially in my district.
Thank you. Let's go back to Jonathan Grabowski. Questions for the candidates.
Yes, so ballot initiatives. These are items that tend to be driven by special interest groups and then given to the state to try to figure out, is it time to get rid of them, modify them, or keep it as is? And we'll start with Senator O'Connor.
I think that ballot initiatives are incredibly important. It's a fundamental part of our democracy. The initiative petition process, being able to have a group of people rise up and change the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Other than politicians, the only way that people have to influence laws, like you have right now, the gas tax that's going to be, you know, hopefully placed on the ballot for voters to decide. I think that that's a huge opportunity and huge part of who we are as Massachusetts, is being able to give people the power to change some of the mistakes politicians have made.
I believe that ballot initiatives should stay on the ballot as well, especially the driver's license for illegals right now, where we're out there collecting signatures to make sure that illegals do not receive driver's licenses. So I'm for it.
Any follow-up on that?
No.
Okay. Kevin Tachi?
COVID has distracted the public's attention away from the ongoing drug epidemic. What is the opioid situation like in the district that you're aware of? Is the state doing enough to make real progress with this problem? And what assistance, and depending on who you are, Senator, have you provided on the situation? Or Ron, would you provide if elected? We'll start with Ron.
I'm not really familiar with this question. I'm going to have to pass on it. I don't know.
Opioid epidemic?
I don't know a lot about the opioid epidemic. I don't know the numbers on it. I apologize for that. But if there is a situation where it is called for that they need extra help and it needs to be called on for somebody like me, I will be there in a heartbeat to help with anything I could do to help them.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this has been one of the biggest issues that we've specifically dealt with in our office. We've worked with many community-based organizations, whether it be Scituate Facts or Marshfield Facts or One Life at a Time, which is run by Christine Driscoll O'Neill out of Cohasset and based in Braintree. We had a great thing going where the governor launched two very successful bills which really aimed at stopping the stigma, as well as providing resources to BSAS, the Bureau of Substance Abuse Services, to combat the drug epidemic that we have in our communities. And after years of double-digit growth, we actually saw 2 years of decline prior to the pandemic. And then unfortunately, the pandemic hit and changed all of those numbers, into last year being the worst year on record that we've had for overdose deaths in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And this is with Narcan, and this is with community-based supports, and with our fire department, and all these others working hand-in-hand to try and stop this. So we have a significant issue, and I believe the state is making significant investment to make sure that we get control of this.
Can you follow?
No.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates?
I had a conversation this morning with a local police captain, and we were talking about how the mental health system in the state has completely collapsed, that the biggest detox centers that we have are the county jails. What would you do to rebuild the mental health system in the state? Patrick, you probably have more experience in this.
It's completely broken. We have families who have come to us, especially the adolescent mental health component that happens right now in the state. We have families who have come to us where their children have been in an ER annex for 2.5 weeks waiting for a bed that, in my opinion, was never going to come in the first place. We have insurance who drops kids and individuals when they have mental health crisis. We have hospitals who are under-equipped to be able to take on these challenges. And then we have the circumstances of the situations where you have mental health providers that just simply don't have enough beds to be able to meet the demand that's currently happening right now. Through ARPA, we invested $500 million into mental health, and we recently passed on August 1st at about 6 o'clock in the morning a mental health omnibus bill that really puts in place a lot more mandates as far as coverage goes, opens up a line of communication between the state and hospitals as far as what they can do, and really goes after a lot of people right now to try and attract them to the field of mental health.
Ron, what would you do to rebuild the mental health system?
I would believe that because of COVID specifically, people were isolated, people were alone, people were scared, people were losing their jobs, people had the threat of losing their jobs. I can imagine that because of those factors that the opioid crisis and mental health took a big hit. And I would assume that if I was to request legislation, or Patrick was supposed to request legislation, that the state should be able to provide whatever it takes to help these people.
Thank you.
Any follow-up?
No.
Okay, I'm just going to switch topics now. This has been an ongoing issue over the past couple of years. Police, defund the police, defend the police, something in the middle. What's your thoughts on law enforcement? Ron?
Unequivocally support the police. Do not defund the police. It shouldn't even be a question. I don't know how it became one.
Okay. Patrick O'Connor, same question.
Sure. I agree with Ron on this. I'm proud to have the endorsement of the State Police Association, Boston Police, Mass Police Association, as well as many other police organizations throughout the state that represent the police departments down here in the district. With that said, obviously not defund the police. There were elements of the police reform bill that I thought we really had agreement on between individuals who were advocates for police reform and law enforcement community in general. One of the ones was police officer certification. I think that everyone collectively wanted that, but far too often bills that make sense that people agree on then all of a sudden go to the court of public opinion and become very much different and very much divisive than they were when they were originally presented. So with that said, long answer to never defund the police, always defend the police, and I'm proud to have their support.
Okay, thank you. Let's go now to Jonathan Grabowski.
So as we know, the State House is made up of mostly Democrats. So how would you, air quotes, bring home the bacon to the district while being in the minority party? And we'll start with Senator O'Connor.
I think I have a proven record of being able to bring home financial resources for local priorities. When you look at what we've been able to do, although we are small in numbers, having only 3 out of the 40 members of the Massachusetts State Legislature be Republicans, I've been able to play a big role on the Ways and Means Committee, on healthcare financing, and on other various committees that have a large amount of responsibility to provide those financial resources to our communities. And so when a bill is being able to go through the House and the Senate, they appoint 3 people. One Republican and 2 Democrats from the House, and 1 Republican and 2 Democrats from the Senate. And I frequently am that 1 Republican on a lot of these bills, which allows me to, in my opinion, really influence a lot of these bills to make sure that they positively impact both financially and in policy the 8 towns of the South Shore.
Ron, how would you bring home the bacon?
Similar to Patrick, he's on 22 boards, I believe. He sits on 22 boards. And what I've done is this, in my small business, is a lot of the questions that people ask me is kind of similar. Not bring home the bacon, but how are you going to be able to sit on those boards being a small business owner? So what I've been doing these last couple of months is training my employees to be able to do what I do when I'm not there. And part of my availability also is we have a closure in the lobster industry too for 2.5 months, and there's threats of more days. So my job would be to continue what Patrick just started.
Okay, well, let's see how well you listen to the folks in your district. What seems to be the one major, a couple of major concerns voters have that you keep hearing about in your district heading into 2023?
Okay, Pat.
I think affordability is the number one thing that we hear from people. I put it out there all the time of how well the Commonwealth of Massachusetts has done, and it's time that we give a lot of that money that we have in our coffers right now back to the taxpayers that made that all possible. We were able to pass a $1 billion tax cut right towards the end of the legislative session, and that bill got caught in committee because of the issue with 62F, where a ballot question in 1986 has now triggered the possibility of $3 billion, which I support, being returned to the taxpayers of Massachusetts. When people see that when they go to the grocery store, not only do they not have some of the items that they want that's on their shelves anymore because of issues in supply chain, they're also seeing stuff much more expensive than it was. When people go to the pump, they feel like they're getting robbed. And what we need to do is we need to make government more efficient to make sure that people have the resources that they need. And if it takes us giving people their money back, which we should, because it's their tax dollars and we don't need it because of the great services that we have that we're providing to people without it, that's the first thing we should be looking at, is affordability and returning tax dollars.
Do you feel that this governing body, the legislature, that there's enough leadership to head off a recession?
30 seconds.
Yes, I do. With $6.9 billion in our rainy day fund, I think that is a great head start that we have on anything that's going to happen. And the things that happen, in my opinion, will hit other states more than they will hit Massachusetts. The investment that we made into our healthcare sector, to our biotech sector, to a lot of the things that we're spreading across our communities as far as growth and development goes, is really going to be something that's going to positively impact us when the downturn in the economy eventually comes.
Ron, one major concerns that you're hearing from voters in the
district. There's two, but the one that I've been hearing recently is the fair share tax that is I believe is going to be on the ballot this time. And a lot of my constituents concerned that it's going to kick open the door to affect a lot more of, not the upper class or the 1 million, I think it is. It's 4% on 1 million. It's going to affect more of the middle class, and they're going to take more of the tax burden than the millionaires that this bill was supposed to be written for.
Do you feel the legislature has enough leadership currently to head off a recession or deal with a recession?
Deal with a recession? Maybe. I don't think you can. I don't know if leadership can stop a recession.
Okay. Charles Matheson.
To say I will cut taxes is very popular, and we'll hear it frequently. How, in fact, would you do it, Ron?
Again, as a small business owner, one of the taxes that we pay is a payroll tax. One of the things I would like to try to get rid of, not just because it would benefit me, but I deal with a lot of similar industries like myself, and the payroll tax is really, it's kind of over the top. One of the things I would like to do is cut a payroll tax on companies of 50 or less employees. And I would like to try to figure out a way to bring our mass state sales tax down from what it's at to under 4% as much as I could.
Patrick.
I think the proposal that was passed in the legislature was a good first start, where we have tax credits for childcare, where we talk about housing tax credits, because a lot of seniors, as Ron had mentioned earlier, are living paycheck to paycheck and really struggling to be able to keep the roof over their head. I think that in tune with that, too, the senior circuit breaker tax credit to make sure that seniors have more money in their pocket, not just to be able to keep their house. When you look at the estate tax, which is currently at $1 million, that needs to be at a different number and reassessed, because I have heard from people whose parents were educators and that they passed away and that they fell into this tax burden where they're getting a tax on the inheritance they received, even though that individual and that family member was in, you know, what we'd consider the middle class. We need to really readjust and look and reform our tax code to make it make sense for 2022. And we also need to understand and realize that we're taking in a lot of financial resources, and those financial resources need to be back into our economy deployed to taxpayers.
Okay. During the election for governor, and if a Democrat gets in that position to be the governor of Massachusetts, do you have confidence that a lot of the financial progress that the state has made is going to continue, or do you think we're going to go back into a tougher financial situation? Ron?
If a Democrat gets in as governor, I think we're going into a tougher financial situation. I do not have confidence that we will be going in the right direction.
Okay. Patrick O'Connor, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I think that Governor Baker was continues to be an excellent executive, and he really reined in a lot of wasteful spending and was able to do a lot with our state's economy to be able to grow it in various different sectors that I don't think that many people saw, but he did.
Okay. Let's go to our lightning round questions now. And these are the questions where we're going to ask whether it's a yes or no answer, and the reporter will tell you what they want, or one or two sentences tops. So let's start with Jonathan Grabowski.
What's your favorite place in the district that isn't in the town you reside?
Pat O'Connor.
My favorite place in the district that isn't in the town that I reside? Mm-hmm. I would say Nantasket Beach.
Okay. Ron Petuto.
That's a tough call. Wampatuck.
Okay. Kevin Chachi?
That was my question. One word to describe your district. I don't want a sentence. One word.
Ron?
Home.
Genuine.
Okay. Charles?
Yes or no, is Joe Biden legitimately elected, Ron?
Yes, he's our president.
Yes.
Pat, okay. Yes, I am going to ask that question. Plymouth County government, stay or go? Two sentences. Start with you, Ron Petutto.
Go.
Okay. Pat O'Connor.
They should stay. They did a good job during COVID. They returned a lot of money to our communities.
Okay.
I heard a groan in the hallway.
I think there's a passing commissioner walking out there. Jonathan Grabowski, lightning round.
What's something the state could that should be considered for privatization? Something the state does that should be privatized, potentially.
Pat?
I think you have to look at the MBTA at some point in time for privatization.
Okay. Ron?
As a libertarian, I think everything.
Okay. Kevin Tachi.
This past weekend, we had the sales tax-free weekend. Would you be in favor of a permanent meals tax-free week for restaurants? Yes or no?
Ron?
Yes.
Pat?
Absolutely.
Charles Mathewson?
Do you think the tax-free weekend is a gimmick?
Yes.
Pat?
Yeah, I guess, to an extent.
Okay. Tell me something interesting about yourself. Two sentences. Pat?
That's a great question. I really love to be able to go out and spend a lot of time with family. I have a five-year-old nephew, Declan, who every single opportunity that I have the chance to, I go and see.
Okay. Ron?
I help coach my daughter's softball. I have a 13-year-old daughter, and it's one of my things I cherish the most.
Love that. Jonathan Grabowski, another lightning round question.
Name me a person from the other side of the aisle that you could see yourself working with if elected.
Ron.
Current.
Lightning.
Pass.
Okay. Pat.
I work really well with a lot of people, but James Murphy, I work real well with. Mike Rodriguez.
Elected official, past or present, that you look to as a role model.
Pat.
Mike Smart, a former council president in Weymouth, who I got on in 21, and he helped me a lot.
Okay. Ron Petutto.
Local or national?
You pick.
Ronald Reagan.
Okay. Charles Mathewson.
Should the legislature take the recess that they are currently on?
Patrick? Is that a yes or no?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Ron?
I don't believe they should.
Okay. And then my final lightning round question, what did you hoard during the pandemic? Patrick O'Connor.
Water.
Okay. Ron?
Nothing.
Okay. Nobody ever says toilet paper. Did you ever notice that? Yeah. And you can never find it in the stores. Okay, we're going to switch order now and go to closing statements. So we began with, can't even find my notes here. I've got so many papers. We began with Ron, and then we went to Patrick. So we're going to switch the order. We're going to go to Patrick and then Ron Petutto. 1 minute closing statement.
Thanks again to WATD and to all of you for hosting this forum. Thank you to Ron for being here. I love this job. I love being able to work every single day to make our community stronger and the lives of the people that call South Shore home better. Government to me is about making sure people have opportunity, that our neighborhoods are safe, that our schools provide strong foundations for good citizens, that someone is there to offer you a helping hand in your time of need, that we take care of our most vulnerable, and that we strive to leave this beautiful part of the world better off than how we found it. These are the principles that have guided me and my team every single day as we have the honor to represent the South Shore in the Massachusetts State Senate. I am confident that our best days are ahead of us, and I ask for your vote on September 6th so that I can continue to provide you the representation you deserve and can be proud of up on Beacon Hill.
Thank you. That was Patrick O'Connor. Go to closing statement now with Ron Petutto.
As you can probably guess from this conversation we've had for the last hour, I'm not a politician. I someday hope to be. I hope to be on September 6th as well. I feel like more of a role of government is to be held. I think government needs to be held accountable for their actions. I believe I would love to do just that, hold them accountable if I go up there. As a small business owner, I've watched neighbors and friends struggle during the last 2 years of during the pandemic, and I would love to represent every one of them if I could.
Thank you. That was Ron Petutto. You've been listening to a WATD political forum with our media partner here, Marshfield Community Media. This is the race for the 1st Plymouth and Norfolk State Senate District, and it is the for the primary race. The election is September 6th. Of course, stay tuned to WATD for complete election coverage. Joining me, we've had Jonathan Grabowski, we've had Kevin Tachi, Charles Mathewson. Timing us is our Lenny Rowe. Thank you for those lovely cards. Larry Nelson, our engineer, and Jill, one of our news people as well. This whole forum will be up online. You'll hear selected cuts of this tomorrow morning as well. And, of course, stay tuned to WATD for complete election night coverage. And remember, get out and vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD. Thanks for listening.
WATD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. The South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. WATD.